God's grace to you and his peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And actually, I would need to just add one more verse to that. I'd like to add verse 9 to that as we pick up a little bit of last week's passage, because that sort of sets the stage here. Let me just read to you chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Then we see the rest of the text, and Paul begins with an appeal. The appeal is because the people in Corinth are very well divided. I guess the cliche that says, where there are two or three Lutherans gathered together, there are at least four or five different opinions must take place. Same thing with the people of Corinth. They apparently well divided and arguing among themselves on who they were following. And some say they were following Paul and some Apollos and some Cephas and then some saying, I follow Christ. Obviously, the other cliche, the other sort of way of saying it, united we stand, divided we fall. They were falling because they were divided. Now, we don't have to go too far. Even within West Chicago, we see churches are divided. In West Chicago, we see three different Lutheran churches. We see a variety from the ELCA, from the Wisconsin Synod, and also this congregation from the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And we may be saying to ourselves, haven't Christians learned anything since the time of Paul? And the answer to that is, well, while we're still on this side of heaven, we're still dealing with sinners. We're still dealing and struggling with our sinful human nature that wants to divide instead of being united in the body of Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, well, what's at the basis of all this divisions? Well, Paul gives us the answer here. Notice the language. Let me read verse 12. And let me emphasize the word I, the I language here. What I mean is, one of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Paul begs the question, is Christ divided? You see, when all those I statements appear, then Christ is divided. Why? Because we're not following him. We're not allowing him to be our Lord and our Master. We're doing things our way. You see, when the I language continues and says, I follow, I decide, I do, we get ourselves into trouble. Because then we become the God. The I becomes the God. And this is also difficult even for children. Children don't necessarily say, I want, I want, I want. Nowadays they have it a little short. They say, gimme, 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 right? Same concept. I am the most important. I need this. I want that. Who benefits with all this I language? Well, if you actually get what you want, then you might say you might have a short-term benefit. But does it benefit you in the long term? The answer is no. We need to change our I language. And how do we need to change our I language? We need to change it from I to he. He calls. He does. He forgives. And then the I benefits. Let me read to you from Luther's Small Catechism, the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Luther writes, what does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, in which Christian church he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers, and will at the last day raise up me and all the dead, and give unto me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. Let me go back to the passage I added verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called. Notice who's doing the calling. God is doing the calling. He's the one who calls us. If I could just pick up for a moment the gospel reading. The disciples didn't see Jesus and go running up to him and saying, Jesus, Jesus, I want to be your follower. No, he called them. Just as he called them, he calls each and every one of us. He gives us his name. When we were baptized, he calls us into his family, and he gives us his name. That's why we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He gives himself. The Holy Spirit is given. He is the one who does the work. A little bit later on, in Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ is incorporated all its members. And we each have a different part. And Paul is trying to relate the concept that each part is important. As he says in verse 20, as it is, there are many parts not yet, many parts yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Paul uses this analogy as the body of Christ to bring us together. And who is the head of the body? That is Christ himself. So he is saying, as the Corinthians need to learn, they don't follow a certain body part, they follow the head, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And there's something special about that head, that body, of which we are engrafted. You see, He gives his own body to save our body, so to speak. You see, because of our sin, we fall short of God's glory and deserve eternal death and damnation, but he gives us his own body so that we will live forever. So let me ask you, what's more important? If it was up to us, our body, the eye, so to speak, would die. But if we have his body, he, so to speak, we live. We see the picture of the cross with Jesus hanging on it. We say, yes, there Christ gives us his body. But our sinful human nature is strong and continues to start focusing on the eyes. And then Jesus says, I will give you my body again. In with another, the bread and wine. Yes, he gives us of his body so that we could belong eternally to his body. Why? Our sinful nature is strong. We like the I language. We like doing things my way. Even though my way brings eternal death and damnation. Now I will admit, in our liturgy, we do have a couple points of I language. Did you catch that? First of all, in the confession, that's probably a very appropriate place for the I language. But notice the I language there is not I want or gimme, gimme, gimme. The I language there is I, a poor, miserable sinner. Isn't that interesting? The other aspect of I language, of course, is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty and in the Son, Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Notice again, the I language here is reaffirming that I need to belong to the body of Christ, that I can't do it myself. Going back to the concept I sort of introduced a little bit later on, or earlier I should say in this message, why then do we have all these different denominations when supposedly we're saying, I believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Well, it goes back to one important concept that we fail to realize with our I language. First of all, let me explain the concept. In doing the concept of the differences between the I language and the he language, let's take a look at the issue of forgiveness. Why do we need Christ's body? We need that forgiveness of sins. We can't do it ourselves. And so how many times recently in this last week have you decided to forgive somebody? Have you purposely said, you know, I forgive you? Versus how many times have you wanted his forgiveness, looking to our Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, and saying, Lord, forgive me. I venture to say, if you're like most of us sinners this side of heaven, it's probably heavily on the he. He forgives. He restores. He blesses. And unfortunately, when it gets to my eye language, I don't always forgive. I don't always try to restore. I don't always try to bless. The point I'm getting to is, let's look at the comparison. The comparison here is, his love is perfect. He does forgive. He does forgive even though I use my I language and I'd rather have things my way instead of his way. He does forgive even though he has the plans of eternal life and my way is only eternal destruction. Now let's get back into the issues of denominationalism. Why so many denominations? Well, unfortunately, as Christians, because of our sinful nature, because of our own I language, we don't always unite under God's word. We'd rather do things our own way instead of God's way. And sometimes we get in the bad habit of even adding something to that forgiveness of sins and trying to make it our own instead of just receiving that forgiveness of sins as Christ freely gives to us. Because of that, yes, we have Christians divided, unfortunately. But one of these days we will be united. Not here on heaven, on earth, but when we get to the other side of heaven, the other side of eternal life with him in heaven above. But while we're here on earth, we have to remember the appropriate I, a poor, miserable sinner, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe or trust in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. As we say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. We need that Savior. We need that forgiveness. We need that body of Christ. We dare not be divided, because when we are divided, we are conquered by our own sinfulness. But we are united in the body of Christ. When we are grafted to him through his love and forgiveness, we have eternal life. It sounds very easy, but in our daily lives, it gets very, very difficult. Why? That I is pretty strong. We still like to have things our way. And what happens when we don't get things our way? Do we sometimes, like little children, throw little temper tantrums and start pouting or saying, well, then I'll leave this church and go to another church? Unfortunately, as sinners, we sometimes say that. So on this day, we come before our Lord and Savior not to be divided, but to be encouraged with his words. Notice how Paul ends this section of our text from Corinthians. He said in verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be empty of its power. We come here today not to hear passive all speak, but to be pointed to the one who provides forgiveness, to be pointed to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, as if you didn't know, following your pastor, one essence, is a good thing as long as the pastor is promoting Christ. But we do not necessarily follow pastors or denominations. We follow what God's word says. So on this day, we remember that we have fallen short of God's glory. The eyes have led us to destruction. We see his forgiveness and we say, Lord, continue to call. Call me by your Holy Spirit because I cannot do it myself. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your saving grace. And our Lord, even though he has forgiven us many times before for being I-centered instead of he-centered, continues to forgive, continues to restore, continues to give us his body for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. His name, Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.